You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When you and I see the symbol of the cross, it should immediately remind us of our involvement in the death of Jesus Christ.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, without your mercy, without your sacrifice, and without your life-giving power, we are most miserable. In your wisdom and in your time, draw your lost sheep unto yourself. Give hope to the weary, strength to the weak, grant peace to the troubled, and pardon to the guilty. Give your joy to all who repent, and turn to the forgiving and loving arms of your Son, the Savior. Empower the words spoken and the music sung on this program. Let it be light in dark and dreary lives, and let your word give all listeners hope for tomorrow based on your resurrection. Amen. In 1955, a major magazine published an interesting essay on the meaning of Christmas. The editors decided it was so well written that it has been reprinted annually for the past 25 years. For a major news magazine, this is indeed unusual. A major portion of the essay is excellent and contains some good insights, but there is one glaring mistake. The author of the Christmas season article states that the main lesson in the life and death of Jesus Christ is his martyrdom for a great principle. Indeed, one may argue very persuasively that when Jesus died on the cross, he was a martyr. But instead of speculating or guessing, let us turn to God's own revelation, the Holy Bible, to learn firsthand why Jesus died and what his death means to you and me. St. Mark records the Savior's words as he spoke of himself, saying, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Even the gracious Savior's worst enemies would admit he did not beat around the bush. Jesus was straightforward in announcing that he would have to die. St. Mark records that Jesus stated the matter plainly. Jesus said that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, the holiness of God demands that the consequences of all our wrongs, yours and mine, all our mistakes and all our sins, had to be paid for. There was no other way. The books had to be balanced. Even a small child who breaks a window realizes that someone must pay the consequences. You and I may try to forget or to block out our mistakes and the sins we have committed, but God in His Word clearly reminds us that each transgression must be accounted for. Someone had to live the perfect life. You and I have failed to live, and someone had to pay the consequences of our failures. Our Heavenly Father also knew that no sinful human person could ever do this. And so, out of divine love, He sent His only Son to accomplish this redeeming task. Jesus paid the price the Father demanded. God in His holiness demanded the price, and God in His mercy paid the price. This sounds illogical and unreasonable, and it is exactly that. No one can ever explain the love God has for you. But let me use an illustration to try to describe what happened. There is a story about two men who went to college. One became a banker, and the other a lawyer, and ultimately a judge. After some years, the banker was arrested for embezzling a large amount of money. He had to appear in court before his old college friend. Knowing this, the community watched the case very closely to see how the judge would rule. Finally, the verdict was issued. The judge handed down on his old college buddy the heaviest fine permitted under the law. The judge then got up, took off his robe, went down to his friend, and he, the judge, paid the price in full. He set the price, and he paid the price. This is precisely what God did to save us from our sins. He demanded the price, and He paid the price. It is so unreasonable and illogical that many refuse to believe it. To some, the good news of the gospel is a stumbling block, and to others it is foolishness. But to those who believe it, it is the sweet message of a pardoned conscience, meaning in this life, and a certain hope for life after death. As you struggle to understand the grace and love of God, listen closely as I read directly from the Bible what God has done for you. You were not redeemed, the Bible says. You were not ransomed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life. But, the Holy Scriptures proclaim, you were redeemed, rescued from the punishment of your sins and the fiery pits of hell by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't this the greatest news in the world? Aren't you relieved to know that there is a way to avoid the punishment of your past sins and mistakes? Some people would say that being notified that they had won $1,000,000 would be the most exciting news that they have ever heard. But if we think for only a moment, we know that this is not true. No amount of money can ever buy forgiveness or heaven. The folly of constantly striving after riches was clearly told on a little card someone once gave me. The card read, and I quote, "If life were a thing that money could buy, the rich would live and only the poor would die." No, God's salvation made available through His Son Jesus Christ is more valuable than all the money in the whole world. And remember, your Heavenly Father is not only offering you pardon for your sins, escape from eternal punishment, and a place in heaven. Jesus also promises strength to overcome your daily frustrations and problems. He wants to give you life with meaning and purpose. Perhaps even at this moment, you are facing some problem in your personal life, or maybe in your family. Some days it may even seem that to you, the struggle in life is hopeless. The forces of frustration and evil seem to be winning. But don't be discouraged. Jesus has overcome the power of the devil for you. When the Savior died on the cross and rose again on the third day, the Bible proclaims that He disarmed the rulers and the authorities of evil. As a consequence, all who have Jesus living in their hearts by faith are given the strength to resist the demonic onslaughts of Satan. This does not mean that we can now let our guard down. We must always be on guard for the evil one. Even Christians must never live in a dream world. The devil will continue to tempt them. Sometimes he may even cause them to stumble. The Bible describes the devil as a roaring lion, looking for someone to destroy. But don't let this frighten you. Accept the protection God is offering you. The Bible teaches that the prince of this world will never be able to conquer or control those within whom the Spirit of God lives. In 1 John chapter 4, we read, "Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." The question of whether Jesus died as a martyr for a principle, or whether His life was a ransom payment for all sinners, is of little interest to many people. perhaps even you, find this question boring and irrelevant. Which teams will play in the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, or the Super Bowl is certainly, for many people, more interesting. The current price of gasoline, the most watched movie on television, or even the weather would probably create more interest and discussion than the question of why Jesus died on the cross. But stop and think for just a moment. Is your attitude similar to the one expressed by the lady when the baseball strike began last summer? When asked how she would adjust to the lack of games to attend, she replied that to avoid boredom, she would now have to go back to church. Others around you may take a very indifferent attitude toward the death and resurrection of your loving and forgiving Savior. But don't be misled. Casual indifference may cost you heaven and guarantee you a place in the pits of hell with the devil and all his evil angels. In stressing the urgency of finding out who Jesus is and what he means in your life, the hymn writer expressed it well when he wrote, "Delay not, delay not, the hour is at hand. The earth shall dissolve and the heavens shall fade. The dead, small and great, in the judgment shall stand. What power, then, O sinner, shall lend thee its aid?" What a blessing it would be if God's Spirit would work in our hearts the feeling of a man who, after remaining silent about a crime for 22 years, confessed, "I've got to have a clear conscience. I will have to meet my Maker someday. No one will meet him for me." If Jesus' death was only that of a martyr, this man would have no hope. If Jesus died only for a principle, then our sins have not been paid for, and you and I will have to yet pay someday for every evil thing you and I have ever committed. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, then, as St. Paul says, we are most to be pitied. But even more crucial, if Jesus was not raised, then neither you nor I will be raised, and we really have nothing to live for. With this type of outlook in life, life is then, as some have described it, a dirty trick. But the fact is, Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross. He paid the price you and I should have paid. He died the death that you and I should have died. And on the third day he rose again, demonstrating his victorious power over all the forces of evil. Prisoners of war are sometimes isolated in solitary confinement. They are frequently viciously treated. Special techniques of torture are used to try to break their spirits, to get them to confess secrets, and to cause them to turn against their own country. So intense is this abuse that in some cases the prisoners' minds are permanently affected. For others, their physical appearances reflect the merciless attacks and the death blows they survive. Stories coming from the mouths of prisoners of the last two major wars attest of such cruelty and viciousness that it is impossible to imagine that any human being could have ever survived. Incredible as it may seem, the physical and spiritual sufferings Jesus experienced when he was crucified, as he bore our sins on the cross, was a million times worse. St. Mark describes the physical cruelty involved in the crucifixion, and I quote, "Some began to spit at him, and to blindfold him, and to beat him with their fists. They wove a crown of thorns and placed it on his head. They kept beating his head with a reed, and then knelt before him in mockery. The blood running down from the Savior's open wounds, the internal bleeding, the shock to his system, and all of these, combined with the many other torture tactics, plus the lack of sleep, was more than any innocent victim should have ever been asked to endure." But that is only a small part of what Jesus suffered. Jesus' real suffering took place when he took upon his body the punishment of every sin that has ever been committed in the world. Like a little child who feels guilty as he looks at the window he just broke, so also may God's Spirit move us to see our involvement in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ each time we see the cross. Dramas are frequently presented on the life of Jesus Christ. Spectators frequently try to determine who was responsible for the cruel death of the innocent Son of God. But unless you and I see our own guilt and involvement when we see the cross, we will never truly understand why Jesus lived and why He died. The Holy Scriptures proclaim that God caused Jesus Christ, who Himself knew nothing of sin, actually to be sin for our sakes. Small children who expect discipline from their parents for things they have done wrong are very happy and relieved when they are pardoned and when they do not have to pay for what they have done. There is also good news for you and me. Jesus has been our substitute. He has earned our pardon. From this moment on, don't fear God's punishment any longer. Turn from your sin and believe in the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's pardon and forgiveness is complete. There are no strings attached. The devil may use others to try to hurt you by reminding you of your past mistakes. When this happens, have the attitude expressed by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "Who has a case against me? Behold, the Lord helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, they will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them." Always rest assured that God loves you in a special way. Turn to your Heavenly Father and live with the confidence that you will never be snatched out of His hand. Live the rest of today and begin tomorrow with the confident words of Isaiah, "The Lord helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. I know I shall not be ashamed." Jesus did not merely die for a great principle. He died to pay for your sins and mine. He, the Scriptures say, bore our sins in His body on the cross. Jesus died so that you and I can live eternally. And so now live with the joy of your complete forgiveness and the absolute assurance of everlasting life in heaven. Amen.